Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Today, you're going to hear round two of the competition from January 13th, 2013, recorded at the Brody Theater in Portland, Oregon, and it is amazing. This episode features Kyle Kinane, Ian Carmel, Sean Jordan, Derek Sheen, and Jimmy Neustetter, all reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions which they receive at the top of the show. So first, you're going to hear me playing a game with an audience member and then the competitors choosing topics. Then we'll fast forward about 30 minutes into the future to hear their completed works. To hear what transpired in those 30 minutes, you can go back and download episode 9. But for now, let's go to round 2. I need one audience member. I need a volunteer to come up and play a little game. Who would like to come up and play a little game? Boom, come on up, buddy. What's your name?
I'm Ray from Seattle.
Ray from Seattle, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Ray, what you're going to win is the first suggestion of the night. If you successfully complete the following, it's a game called Porn Parody or Not a Porn Parody. So what I need you to do is tell me whether each of these is or is not an actual porn parody of a cinematic release. Are you prepared for that, Ron?
I've been waiting for this moment my whole life, Brian.
Fantastic. I feel good about this. I believe him. We'll start off with an easy one or two here. First option, Full Metal Jacket.
I'm going to guess that that is.
I did not Google it, but I think you're right. First one I thought of. The Masturbator.
I'm going to guess that that's real, too.
I have no idea. Let's give it to you. Yes. Abe Lincoln Puss Hunter.
Even if it isn't real, it should be.
So absolutely. I'm giving it to you. Three for three. Pride and Prejudice and Fucking. Think hard.
I know I'll regret this, but I'm going to guess no.
No,
that hasn't been a movie yet.
I made that one up. Well done. So far, it is just a graphic novel.
If it had actually been a... Yeah.
Okay. This is a little tricky.
But we're all waiting on that movie, I think.
We are, absolutely. Hard Pork on Hudson. Now, it's in theaters now. It'd be tricky for... I'm just giving you a little clue.
Oh, no. I was just about to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard Pork on... that is not. I made that one up. Sorry. Felch.
Well, theoretically, if this did exist, what would it be a porn parody of?
I cannot answer that.
I think I'll regret it, but I'm going to say this one's real.
It is not real. I made that up.
Duh!
I know. Felch Lives.
I'm going to guess that was not real either, then.
Also made up. Bear Back to the Future.
That's got to be real.
That is not real.
Duh!
It's not real. Bear Back to the Future 2.
I'm going to guess no.
That's actually real. Couldn't get the rights to the first one. Bear Back to the Future 3.
Fake?
Sorry?
Fake?
Correct. That's correct. Cum Farts 5? Cum Farts 5.
Oh, no, I just can't believe that actually exists. Yes, it is probably real.
That's an actual porn film. It's not technically... I'm going to give you half a point for that one. Schindler's Sliz. Porn parody or not a porn parody, Schindler's Sliz.
That's probably real, but I want it to not be real so badly I'm going to guess that it is.
No, I made that up. I clearly made that up. Forrest Gump.
I'm going to say that's real.
That is not real, surprisingly. Okay, all right.
Should be.
We're doing okay, though. The good, the bad, and the ugly truth about prolapsed anuses.
Fake.
Fake. That is fake. As much as I've been trying to get funding. Wreck-It Ralph.
Would you repeat that, please?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Real, but not a porn.
Correct, correct. Well done. Wreck-It Ralph Butthole Edition.
Fake.
Fake. Very good. Good. And finally, babies.
I believe that's a Disney film.
That is a Disney film. Fantastic job, Ray, was it? Ron?
Ray, yeah.
Ray? All right, you got several out of 16. I'm not going to do the math, but what is your suggestion that will be the first one that we pull tonight?
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Does it have to be 3D or can it be regular?
3D, damn it.
3D it is. Big hand for Ray, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, buddy. In the meantime, we're going to welcome the round two comics who will be writing based on your suggestions. Ladies and gentlemen, big hand for Derek Sheen, Jimmy Neustetter, Sean Jordan, Ian Carmel, and Kyle Kinane, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, nice.
Yes.
We call this the action.
There we go. Yeah, buddy.
Several of them.
All right. All right. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara Holmes, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be seeing her in a bit. Let's start with Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan. Step on up here, pal.
I got an iPod. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Put it away.
I was not worried. Your first... Oh, the other thing is if they like the first suggestion, they can just take it and run with it. If they don't like it or they're not sure, I will draw a second, but then you guys vote which one they have to do. Okay? Key. Your first suggestion is The Cosby Show. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
No. That's not how it works.
All right, we'll
You've
roll the
done
dice.
This before.
All right, we'll roll the dice.
Motherfucker.
Talk to me like that.
Harriet Tubman. There's no rule against combining them.
Wait, your turn, Ian.
So just for the sake of argument, who would like to hear Cosby Show? Harriet Tubman.
All right, here you go, buddy.
Harriet Tubman, you want that. Kyle Kinane, ladies and gentlemen, step on up. Reigning Portland champion, Kyle Kinane. Remind him what you did last time.
I did Facts of Life.
Yeah. Yep. That will be coming out on the podcast, folks. These will all be eventually. Your first option is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nah, roll it, roll it. Let's see.
Harold and Maude. So, who would like to hear Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Who wants to hear Harold and Maude? Harold and Maude it is. Jimmy Neustetter, step on up here, pal. Big hand for Jimmy. Local favorite, Jimmy Neustetter. First timer, how you feeling, man?
Fantastic.
All right, all right. Your first suggestion is Adam's Family.
I want to roll the dice.
All right, let's roll some dice. Let's see what's going on. The Golden Child. Eddie Murphy classic. Who wants to hear Adam's Family? Thank you for the suggestion. Who wants to hear Golden Child? And Derek Sheen, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Whew. Previous Seattle champion, I believe.
Do I get to take the suggestion? Is that out of the question?
What happened to Chainsaw?
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally forgot about Chainsaw Massacre. My bad. Do you want Chainsaw Massacre?
What are we picking? Okay. Can I just default to it?
All right. You can just default to it if you want to. Sorry, man. I totally forgot about that. You can just take it, or you can roll the dice with the crowd.
Let's roll the... Well, you know what? Fuck it. We're doing Chainsaw Massacre.
Chainsaw Massacre! But
original recipe, not that new piece of shit, okay?
Nope. Fantastic. All right. And finally, Ian Carmel, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Also reigning Portland champion. Your first suggestion is Captain Kirk. All right. And whoever wrote this, I fucking love you. Chris Angel. We're not voting on that. We're not voting on that. Fucking, I'm so bored with Star Trek. Chris Angel it is. All right. Big hand for everybody in round two, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Hobbling to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan.
That's entitled Harriet Tubman.
It's good. I like that.
Sure, sure. It was a dark evening in the country that night. The stars lit up the night sky like cumdrops on the face of heaven. Harriet had been on the trails for weeks now with only her dirty, scummy, untrimmed fingernails to pass the sweaty thoughts and get her on until the next heaping bowl of cock stew that she wanted to stuff in her face. As she was walking and letting her thoughts wander, she saw a light and prayed to Lincoln that it was a dick attached to it. She got closer and closer, gleaming with anticipation. Her tattered rags that she called pants were soaked with womanhood, so much she could barely stop herself from dropping right there and taking that pussy to school with her own fist. Take that pussy to school, yeah? She finally arrived at the light to find two young men who had fled a plantation some miles away. They saw Harriet as she saw them, and all three knew right away it was on like Michelle Kwan. Harriet wasted no time grabbing both of their fully rocked dicks and going to town like a skier with two brand new ski poles. She locked eyes with one, then the other, and said, "No names, no rubbers. I want to feel you both ruin me for all other men." Harriet inserted one of the men into her perfectly heated oven of a vagina while gulping the other man down like a baby bird learning how to eat. This went on until the man on the bottom started getting restless. He asserted his dominance and flipped Harriet over like a breakfast pancake to hit it like a G. The other man moved to the front to continue with getting his brain from Harriet that he was previously getting. We don't know for sure, but we do think this is where the first wobbly H went down, was then. Harriet was so turned on, she was basically spelling her name in the dirt with cum squirting. Both men's hot pockets were almost fully cooked, so they rose above Harriet as she faced them on her knees, ripe with anticipation. She took the first full load in her mouth and ate it like she was getting paid. Then on to the second, finishing the other man off onto her chest and stomach, all the while making direct eye contact with him as if to say, "This cum no longer belongs to you. It's mine. Deal with it." By the time it was all said and done, the ground was littered with so much sweat, booty juice, and a little blood for some reason that you could barely walk without getting some strange fluid on your tootsies. Harriet stood up and realized that now any man to fuck her was just going to be basically stirring a paint can. Thus began the search for the biggest and blackest dick of all time so she could get off again. After that day, Harriet was never the same. She longed to be treated like that again. Harriet didn't like to make love. She preferred to be fucked like she was the only girl on the ship.
Oh my God.
I just realized that that isn't what I wasn't going for that at all.
Oh my god.
Oh, I really wasn't. I swear to god I was thinking like the Navy. That's what I was thinking. I swear to god. Stack of Bibles. I'm just that funny. I really. Anyway, if you know me, I'm too nice for that. Fuck am I? Where was I? Scratch ship off.
Racism.
Of yeah. Hera never found true love in her quest. She got all sweaty and couldn't turn the page. She did free a lot of young men and women. As long as they would come on her face like a circus clown who used cum for face paint. Bill Cosby. Thank you.
John Jordan, just stay close, man. Go wherever. You can sit down on the side if you want to. Who else do we got for round two? I can't see shit. Jimmy Neustadter, ladies and gentlemen.
Should I just rip right into it? I'm just going to go. The golden child, we'll call him George. The golden child waited patiently in his cage, occasionally nibbling his bottom lip. In order to subdue the boy's godlike powers, it was necessary for him to be watched at all times by the four biggest... By the four biggest teases in all the land. One of the teases, Shelley, caught the young boy's fancy and began to smile at her. This caught Shelley off guard as she had not properly noticed his freshly sheen head and wirily primal physique. Suddenly, locked in a passionate stare, the boy started caressing the air around him. Shelley felt her nipples become aroused and her labia starting to glisten. There was more light pressure now around her neck and her inner thigh. She could feel his stare penetrating her now like she knew she wanted him to. "This is wrong!" she cried out. But it was too late. Lacey, Stacy, and Cool Whip had already pinned her down and removed her clothes. Kissing and licking and groping her all over, never once promising her the hope of release. They teased her beyond remorse. Her eyes never once leaving the golden child's. True, he is just a lad, but when all your homies believe you to be a god, you're going to get some pussy. They sucked her nipples until it seemed they reached the heavens. They choked her harder now and dragged ice cubes, feathers, and the rainbow hair of those cute little trolls, which are pretty soft. Across her precious, moist, pink button. And she yodeled like she was auditioning for a Ricola ad. The boy smiled slyly. "You are ready," his voice inside her head confided. As he used astral projection to give her G-spot the old Captain Hook with his Midas digits. Her walls gushed with relief and pleasure as he continued to tug. All the while, Lacey, Stacy, and Cool Whip continued to have a grade school dance party makeout session with her erogenous zones. Her relief quickly turned to panic as she realized his projection was still inside of her, tugging at her dripping gash like a malfunctioning claw grabby prize game that got caught on the jersey of an Oakland Athletics teddy bear. Wave upon wave of joy overcame her as she gushed out a mighty squirt that immediately produced a brilliant rainbow that was gone as soon as it happened, and all the girls achieved spiritual enlightenment and from that moment forward swore to a life free from teasery. And that's pretty much it. Eddie Murphy banged an Asian chick that had been dead for at least 15 minutes because that's what a precious commodity Asian pussy is. Thank you.
Jimmy Neustadter. And keep it going for Kyle Kinane, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's start slow. Harold and Maude.
Harold stirred in his seat. The preacher's eulogy made it difficult to sit still, since every mention of the recently deceased caused his already impossible erection to thrust ever forward towards his intentionally baggy tweed slacks. He marveled at his penis and its liveliness for all things perished. He gazed down upon it as the funeral carried on, wondering if it would ever desire to plunge into still living flesh. Maud was attending yet another stranger's black parade. Oh, sure, she didn't get turned on the way she used to, and the valley where her erotic mist once formed now only produced a warm grease. What once felt like the felt petals of a flower now only resembled more of a well-seasoned iron skillet to the touch. She looked over to see not just a young man out of place at this friendless octogenarian's final appearance, but his loose tweed pants rising with the preacher's every mention of the great hereafter. She propped herself up with her cane and repositioned herself behind the young man and leaned in to whisper, "Hey, sonny, I've got a gravesite if you want to shove that casket somewhere." Harold was taken back. "Pardon me?" "Follow me," said Maud. They left the chapel and entered a side door of the funeral home. It was the casket showroom. "I know your type, sonny," said Maud. "I beg your pardon, ma'am," said Harold. Maud dropped her cane and lifted her dress up, past her rolled-down stockings. Past where a large sheet-like pair of underpants should have been, had she worn any. "You like a stiff one for your stiff one." A white wisp of pubic hair formed a near-perfect mustache for the forlorn opening she once proudly referred to as her smitten mitten. "What do you say, sonny? Want to whistle into the well?" Harold stroked his chin. "I've got a better idea. Why don't we visit the crematorium?" He spun Maud around and bent her over a beautiful polished oak casket with a fuchsia silk liner. He dropped his imprisoning tweed trousers, and his beet red pulsating headstone nearly breathed its own sigh of relief. He reached down, clenching and pulling up Maud's dry, sagging buttocks, her skin delicate like sun-bleached newspaper. His penis rooted for Maud's aged truffle and found it. Her years rendered her forbidden... her forbidden duke? More... less like a mouth tightly puckered for the most secret of kisses, and more like a walnut that could not, would not be cracked. But Harold's headstone could not be stopped. He thrust it, nay, his penis pulled his lithe body into her, and it was everything he wanted. "Yeah, stud, get it. Get up in that Model A," Maud rattled. Quite literally, her lack of cartilage caused her bones to clang together. The barren chute was dry and painful, and Harold loved every second. "It's like fucking a pine box," he screamed, as he released his youth juice into her salted flower pot. "Christ, sonny, I'm gonna need a week of prunes to undo all this butt fucking." They both returned to the service and paid their respects to the stranger.
Kyle Kinane. And keep it going for Ian Carmel, ladies and gentlemen.
And remember, the real frickin' magic is in your heart. So don't be a retard unless you're an actual retard, and then God bless. And with that, the massive auditorium went dark, and the crowd erupted into deafening applause. Cheers of, fuck yeah, dude, cut through the thunderous laudations. I have to admit, I was skeptical seeing Chris Angel, but he won me over. My high heels click-clacked on the cobblestone street as I walked back to my Prius or whatever. I reached into my pocket to fish out my keys, but they weren't there. They weren't in my purse either. Damn it, Kathleen, you klutz. Even though you're a smart, independent businesswoman who has trouble balancing her job and her love life, you still lose your keys. Suddenly, from behind me, a voice rang out. Oh no, if only there were as a master of locks and escapes in the spirit of Henry Houdizi. Oh wait. Oh wait, I'm right here. There must be magic in the world. I didn't even need to turn around to know it was him. His voice, thick and dumber than Long Island. His tongue struggling to shape even the most basic words, like a Ramon with a stroke reading the ingredients. Actually, just kidding. I can't make your keys appear because I'm all out of juice. But you can wait in the dressing room for the locksmith. Oh, I'm okay. Just then, the sky started pouring rain. Oh, there must be magic in the world. The air in the dressing room was as thick and dumb as his voice. A mix of Drakkar Noir and sweat. So no offense, but you're like a damsel in distress. I wish there was some kind of way to make you a damsel who's undressed. He cackled and then started doing pull-ups on a bar in the room that was shaped like a crucifix. Just kidding, no offense, unless you're up for it. He hopped off the bar, dimmed the lights, and sat next to me on the couch. I like to meditate sometimes because the Buddhist is like a close personal hero of mine. He then lit an Axe body spray brand candle. And inched towards me. You know, Kathleen, some of the dopest magic of all is the human body. Like how when a vagina gets all sloshy and wet so you can bone better. It's like, whoa, Jesus is the real magician. Or like, what about a rock hard boner? Chris Angel stood up and unzipped his leather pants and dropped them to his ankles, revealing a pair of leather boxer briefs. Emblazoned with countless rhinestone Gothic crosses. A rock hard boner is the greatest mind freak of all. The room filled with the drumming pulse of a ruby red strobe light. The room, heretofore silent, filled with what could only be the Vienna Boys Choir singing the opening salvo to Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. We're gonna have Alec John such a good time, you and me. It's a Bon Jovi joke. And with that, his leather boxer briefs were gone. I'd like to introduce you to my penis. It was thick and short, much like Chris himself. And like his proud owner, this penis had long, flowing, luxurious hair. And a crucifix necklace on a thin gold chain. Or perhaps you've already met. He then reached into my breast pocket and pulled out an autographed picture of his own dick. I kinda touched your boob there. I think we both thought that was awesome. He pulled me up by my hand. I need a volunteer from the audience for boning. He made me close my eyes. Somehow I'd succumb to this doofus. Maybe it was his confidence, or maybe I'd truly been mind-freaked. For my next trick, I'm gonna look at your boobs and vagina by making your clothes disappear. He roughly tore at my clothes with his idiot hands. Open your eyes. Oh shit, where's your clothes? There must be magic in the world. I could see my clothes stuffed roughly into the trash can. But I didn't want to hurt his feelings. We both stood there. I nude, he in a shirt with no less than 36 crosses on it and no pants. Wait, I'm not ready to fuck you or make love or whatever. He threw a smoke bomb on the ground and we both broke out coughing really bad. When we had stopped coughing and the smoke finally cleared, his foolish club foot of a dick was decked out in an Ed Hardy condom. Safety sex is important too, because like I care about you or whatever. With that, he bent me over a patent leather rhinestone mesh t-shirt trunk and entered my skeptical vagina. It was resigned to his chubby thumb of a dick with an almost British mix of disgust and politeness. He pumped spastically with not even a hint of rhythm. Yeah, David Blaine couldn't bust up your crab pot like this. Yeah, you're getting mind freaked. Oh shit! Chris stopped, pausing awkwardly, like Sean Jordan making a slave ship joke. Seems like it's only been 45 seconds, but that's like, oh shit, that's like the greatest trick of all, because it's been way longer. There's magic in the world. And then he grabbed the Hot Topic looking digital clock and smashed it against the wall. And now for my final trick, he sputtered, and then pulled out of me, my vagina spitting out his developmentally disabled dick. Like some kind of white girl from Minnesota trying sushi for the first time. The room filled with swirling purple smoke, the choir swelled, laser light show crucifixes bathed the walls in the humbling glory of Jesus. And then Chris's little cherub politely coughed out a whisper of jism. And with that, he screamed out, "Mind freak!" As the energy in the room died down, he looked at me and cracked a smile. "Hey, my dude stuff kind of looks like a bunny. You pulled a rabbit out of my dick." That's it. That's all.
Ian Carmel. Keep it going for Derek Sheen, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like going up after Hendrix.
I'm so sorry.
Hello, we're the Jefferson Airplane. We don't know what we're doing.
Oh my God.
The following pussy-drenched fucktail is true. In 1974, Sally Hardesty, her floppy tits, her stupid crippled brother Franklin, his lousy dumbass wheelchair, and their three friends, whom didn't really need a name in the first place, apparently, made their way to Texas for a weekend of fucking, sucking, and saying a bunch of dumb shit from the 70s. If they all would have lived long, long lives, they could never have predicted the amount of cum-stained tube tops and short shirts they'd have to wring out later after the Texas Chainsaw Mascara. Kirk pulled the VW bus into the driveway of the old dilapidated Southern mansion. He got out, came around the side, slid open the door, and a thick, mucusy cloud of musky taint fog moistened his face and neck. Sally was inside, writhing in ecstasy as two huge adult arms punched in and out of her sloppy ham envelope. Thick ropes of translucent lubricant reflected beads of the last of a Texas sundown. Hey, sex fiends. And Franklin, you crippled retard, we're here. Oh, at the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert? Asked Franklin. Just then, the weird hitchhiker that had been they picked up earlier pulled his arms from Sally's now gaping chasm. Hey, look, it looks just like a thirsty wino's mouth. Then the hitchhiker stood up and jammed his hair-covered, rock-hard, split-shafted, pierced jizz wand into Franklin's sexless, stupid mouth. Hey, thanks, mysterious hitchhiker, said everyone, except a crippled, gently weeping Franklin. Hey, guys, let's go check out this apparently empty, creepy house, said Kirk. Just then, the hitchhiker quickly slapped Franklin's pudgy, stupid face with both hands and pulled his now flaccid, oily dong from his mouth. Strands of thick saliva, tears, and mucus fell on Franklin's dumb, fat, stupid chin. Hey, it's my house. Come on, let's go in and say hi. Wait, said Sally. It doesn't look right. I don't want to get murdered by some sociopaths out in the fucking middle of Texas. I don't want a bunch of creepers who aren't going to bone my sexy, good-looking corpse. Girl, you kidding? No one's going to kill that ass. We're just going to pound it like it's fresh pork shoulder. Wait. Isn't that the Chainsaw Massacre house? Franklin cried. Just then, Kirk jumped into the van and ramrodded his stiff junk into Franklin's stupid open mouth. Franklin quieted and began to suck like a baby goat with a milk bottle. Go ahead, dude, yelled Kirk to the hitchhiker. Thanks, man. Anyways, as I was saying, this isn't the murder house you guys read about in the papers, unless you count all the poon that gets RIP'd in here. Leatherface! Hey, Leatherface, get out here! Just then, they heard a howling scream from inside the house. They all recoiled, ready to be terrified by whatever creature was capable of such heinous peals of high-pitched horror. Just then, it burst through the door, the hulking, steaming mass of muscled flesh, its arms flailing in the air. The zipper bounced wildly from his shiny black gimp mask. In his left hand was a colossal rubber ebony dildo. The straps of his leather suspenders could barely contain his glycerin-coated hairy beer gut. His gaunt, yellowed sausage was harder than Euclidean geometry. Hey, Leatherface! Get that crippled faggot, Leatherface! Get him! Fuck his dumb shithole into a roast beef trombone, Leatherface! Leatherface leapt into the van. Kirk's wang was still jammed in Franklin's mouth, but at that point, Leatherface came up behind him, raised his left hand, and brought the sheer weight of the floppy black dong against the back of Kirk's neck. Pushing Kirk's limp body from the van, Franklin began screaming as Leatherface looked at everyone outside the van, waved, made a high-pitched whine. His and Franklin's screams were suddenly drowned out by Leatherface slamming the van door from the inside. That dog will hunt! All right, hey. Come on, let's go have some hot barbecue, some black bean sauce, and then finish the night with a human centipede on Sally and a soap party in a claw tub. Hee-hee-hee sex. Thank you, guys.
Stay there, Derek. Derek Sheen, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get everybody from round two up here. So, first I'm just going to remind you of the order and again what everybody read, and then we'll vote. So, we started with Sean Jordan with Harriet Tubman, then Jimmy Neustetter with The Golden Child, then Kyle Kinane, Harold and Maude, Ian Carmel with Chris Angel, and Derek Sheen with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, starting from Sean Jordan, Harriet Tubman.
Jimmy Neustadt or Golden Child? Kyle Kinane, Harold and Maude. Ian Carmel, Chris Angel. Derek Sheen, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Your round two champion, Ian Carmel, ladies and gentlemen. Fuck me. Let's hear it for everybody in another. Well, that does it for round two, and congratulations, Ian Carmel, for writing one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. Please come see him do it again next weekend. No pressure, pal. July 14th at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland, along with special guest Jackie Cation and a host of amazing comics. You can also see Jackie headline the Hawthorne the night before, July 13th, and she's also recording her podcast, The Dork Forest, live at the Hawthorne that afternoon with special guest Carrie Brownstein. More details on all three of those shows can be found at hawthornetheater.com. It's going to be a great weekend. July 16th is the next Nerd Melt show in Los Angeles. August 23rd and 24th, I'll be at the High Plains Comedy Festival in Denver doing stand-up as well as competitive erotic fan fiction. And Labor Day weekend, I'll be at Bumbershoot in Seattle. Details can be found on the Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction Facebook group or by following me on Twitter at Brian Cooking. Thanks again. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.